Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Thasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds as he brings you Bad Company. And Captain B2 and Dan as they deliver you into Ekphrasis. Now, if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Victoria and the Hearts of LMP and Mr. M and Miss Frost as they open up their Black Lace Diaries. Tuesdays, come take a walk on the wild side. Fridays, a split between In Our Craft, a split between Crawling Into Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Faisana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Go into read your poems and praying for the fun. And good evening, Jean.
Well, hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
I'm fine and dandy.
Yes, yes. Great intro tune.
Now, do you recognize that song?
I do not recognize it, but it definitely gave me a film noir kind of feel in the background. I can't say 100%, but a little bit. So where is this song from, said song from?
It was first played in 1940 under the title Harlem Nocturne. It's been played over the years by a lot of people. And Mickey Spillane used it for the Mike Hammer series on TV back in the mid-80s, I think it was.
Okay.
That's what you heard,
okay.
The little updated version.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. It was a great tune. It was a great intro for tonight, I thought. Most definitely. Saxophone is definitely a wonderful instrument. It has a whole different sound from everything else. You know, it just kind of, I don't know, it sings to you in a different way, which I like. I do like. So, yeah, so great idea for a contest. I like it. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the reads for tonight. I'm sure you have some really good ones floating around. And I know Pam said she's going to
be. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. We got some great poets, so I'm sure we'll have some good stuff floating by. So, yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure who else is calling, but as I said, Pam said she's running late. So she'll be, I guess she'll be joining us, you know, in a half hour or so, which will be nice. And in the meantime, you just stuck with me. So this could
That's
be a free.
Fine and dandy.
I hear you. It's crazy, though. Let me see now. It's you and me.
You got any favorite sax songs?
No. I'm not one to be sitting there and listen to it. I'm horrible with titles for all songs. And don't ever ask me who sings it or plays it because I have no idea. But, you know, if I hear a snippet of it, it'll catch my ear and I will tune into it. Unlike some stuff I just kind of shine it on and keep going. But there's a lot of good ones out there. The other song that you pulled for tonight was a really good one. I think Kenny G originally did that, didn't he? Or am I
George Michael.
George Michael. Okay, there you go. And I like a little Kenny G and a little Gatto. Gatto's pretty good. Gatto Barbieri, I think it is. Barbieri. I mutilated that name. He's pretty good, too. Sorry, Gatto. But, you know. Yeah. And they wonder why I don't speak foreign language. Because I chew the words up and spit them out. But, yeah, there's some that I've listened to through the time. I know the Gatto dude, because I'm not going to mutilate it again, had done some Last Tango in Paris. Redid some of those songs. And he did them, I believe, if I remember correctly, oh, God, Santana was in on it with him. And it was just great to listen to. A friend of mine had turned me on to that a long time ago, and I was like, wow, that's pretty decent. Every now and then I listen to it, because I have it saved on my favorites. So, like, I'll be wandering through, and I'll see it, and I go, oh, wait, and I click it. And I listen for a while, and, you know, brush off those memories and keep on walking, you know. But good stuff, really good stuff. Yeah, it's rough, man, it's rough. We all have those things that we have to kind of like, you know, it's like running through the rain, trying to get through between the raindrops so that way you don't have to linger there too long. Yeah, that's the way life is. So let me think now. Yeah, no, I don't have any favorites. No favorites. I like a little bit of everything. Yeah, that's where I come from. I just like a little bit of everything, a whole lot of nothing. You know, I was never the album kind of girl because I put on an album after like the second or third song, I'm like faded off somewhere. I'm like lost, you know, terrible, but true, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one in the world that does that, but I definitely do get lost.
Well, you might be right now.
I might be. Well, yeah.
At the moment. The only one in the room that feels that way.
Hi, Robbie. Wait, maybe I should send him the phone number. What do you think? Can't hurt, right? Shouldn't hurt. Hey, Robbie, I'm sending this just for you. Yeah. See that? Oh, my God. Yeah, so I it's good stuff. Good stuff. So what do you think? Do you think since we should get this party started, or you want to...
Sure,
okay, good. Good, good, good. Because I can talk silly all night long and not make a whole lot of sense to people, and then they'll really like, what the hell is wrong with Phil? And we can all go, I don't know. Okay, maybe I'll pick up the link this time. I tried to put the phone number up again. Robbie's not taking the hint.
Robbie,
that's not right, Robbie, and that's just laughing at me. Hint, 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 subtle hint. Here we go. Okay, Rex, I'm putting up the intro poem for you. It's funny.
Jazz Fantasia by Carl Sandburg. Drum on your drums, batter on your banjos, sob on the long, cool, winding saxophones. Go to it, oh jazz man. Sling your knuckles on the bottoms of the happy tin pans. Let your trombones ooze and go husha, husha, hush with the slippery sandpaper. Moan like an autumn wind high in the lonesome treetops. Moan soft like you wanted somebody terrible. Cry like a racing car slipping away from a motorcycle car. Bang, bang. You jazzmen, bang all together drums, traps, banjos, horns, tin cans. Make two people fight on the top of the stairway and scratch each other's eyes in a clinch tumbling down the stairs. Can the rough stuff. Now a Mississippi steamboat pushes up the river night with a hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo, and the green lanterns calling to the high soft stars. A red moon rides on the humps of the low river hills. Go to it, oh jazz man. And poem.
Wow. That's a nice poem there, right? A nice one. I was kind of really tuned in. Moan like an autumn wind high in the lonesome treetops. Moan soft like you wanted somebody terrible. Cry like a racing car slipping away from a motorcycle cop. Bang, bang, you jazz man. Bang all together drums. You know, that's a great stanza there. I found that to be very... I don't want to say relatable, but it was very understandable where he was coming from with it. It just really suited it all in a nice way. So great job. Great choice, Rex.
I agree. I like that stanza too. But the offering of Jazz Fantasia kind of rings in that note of the Disney's film from the 40s, Fantasia, where it's just a wild and woolly feast for the eyes and ears. And that's exactly what this is, a feast for the ears and the imagery floating in one's head.
Yeah, it just kind of takes you all these different places, carries you from here to there. Yeah, very well. Very well done. Good job, Carl. Good job. I was so stupid when
you
I said
no
oh, that.
You got no pay for that one there.
I figure, wow, you know, I make these comments and I say, how stupid am I? Like, he's the one who's famous. You know? Like, oh, my God. I feel like that every Friday and we do an intro poem. Hey, guess what? We got a caller.
Hey.
What do you think of that?
That would be Robbie.
Yes, it would. How did you guess? How did you ever guess?
I'm 807.
Yeah, I thought even if I didn't say that, you would have been like, yeah, that's probably Rob.
Well, I was always saying that, you know, that phone number. I saw it 807. I was like, yes, yeah. Yes. I saw the message.
I think I phoned often enough that you I think Pam remembers my number. I've phoned often enough that some people remember my area code now.
Right. It gets easier the more you do it, you know. We go, oh yeah, 87. I know who that is. Sometimes
yeah.
people in the same area.
What's that weird Canadian number?
Yeah. Oh my God. So anyway, hi Robbie. What made you call in tonight? I'm only kidding. Don't tell him. Oh my God. Well, it's good to have you.
Thanks.
Okay.
It's nice
Did
to be wanted.
Did you hear Rex's intro for us?
No, I was setting some things up. Like after 10, I get like my nighttime lighting going and all that. So I was doing something else. So I had to, yeah, I tuned in about a minute late. So.
Did you hear that, Rex? He was doing something else. He was too busy to listen to you read. So.
I was playing my phone, everything on my phone, so I didn't want the broadcast to accidentally get into the the phone.
Really? Oh my yeah. God! Anyway.
I've called in on so many blog talk shows, and that's happened sometimes where someone's still got the radio up, and they're like, "Turn your
uh-huh.
radio down!"
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So,
Oh man, it just gets so confusing hearing it in the background. It's like. You're not sure if it's really the radio or if it's sometimes it's the television, sometimes the
mm-hmm.
roommate, you know. God, yeah. It gets a little messy. But that's all right. That's all right. We all get through it, right? That's what we do.
Okay.
So, let's see now. I guess I'm supposed to pull another poem, Rex, or are you going to do that? I'm going to do that, right? You're doing the... Robbie, can I get you to read this next poem?
Let me just refresh.
Okay, well, I got to put it up first here. Now you can read it.
Careless Whispers. Okay, so by Kennedy, that's, I'm looking at the musical influence here. Something that came to my mind right away. I'm curious if it'll... If I'm going to hear that in the poem. So, okay, Careless Whispers. Fingers travel down the long brass flute. Each key plays a newborn dream. In quiet tones and careless dreams, the sound creates romantic scenes. Crystal decanter, wine in a glass. Pianos melt with classic brass. Smooth Chardonnay to the taste, blended with the double bass. String quartet so softly plays, each note sounds so sublime. Breathless brass comes alive, saxophone in three-quarter time.
Nice job, Robbie. Nice
Great
job.
Read, Robbie. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
All right, Jean, why don't you start us off?
You know, I really, there was a lot that I liked about this poem. It, I'm trying to think how to put it in words at first. You know, I love the lead-in, you know, that fingers travel down the long brass flute. Each key plays a newborn dream in quiet notes and careless whispers. The sound creates from because the saxophone is a wonderful background, backdrop, you know, for a lot of things. I mean, you know, if you're not sitting up on top of the stage, you know, it sounds really just a wonderful deep, rich curtain background to kind of, I don't know, to I'm not sure how to say it. I don't know. Maybe you know what I mean already. But I did enjoy, like, in the second stanza as well. I mean, I could read the whole thing and just say, yeah, I liked all of it. I really did. I thought the crystal decanter, wine in a glass, you know, pianos melt with classic brass. I just really enjoyed the imagery that this created in my mind. Just a really well done piece. And CRL, that was a great job. I know he plays music, doesn't he, Rex? CRL.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's why he hit all the notes in such a great way. You know, definitely well done. Yeah, stop yammering now.
Thank you, Gene. And Rob, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, one of the things that came to my mind immediately was George Michael's Careless Whispers, that song, and
yeah.
had that same sort of silkiness to it. And this kind of poetry is something that appeals to me because it's something that I used to write a lot because I'm a musician born through and through. I'm one of those people I practically came out of the womb playing playing an instrument. So it's like, you know, really part of me. And I like poems like this that really personify music that way. And especially instruments, it's always so fascinating to me to see how different instruments are personified, you know, to convey a sense of romance or a sense of relaxation. And it's something that I've done myself as a practice in poetry, and I always enjoy to hear someone else's take on that. Like in this poem, I was thinking, I like the crystal decanter, wine in a glass, and, you know, it's got that physical background, the physical backdrop, kind of amplifying the personification of romance and relaxation and in the instrument as well.
You know, I feel pretty good. Robbie came down with the background too, the backdrop. Yep. See? There's some truth to what I said.
Well, I guess we can make that a triad, because I was walking the same way. This hits on that note of a well-played scene from a black and white noir movie, and you've got this mellow music hitting in the background. And right when you get to the crystal, on crystal, you get the pianos melting in with the brass right there, which kind of hits the right note. And he did
Absolutely.
The same thing with the fingers travel down the long brass flute, and each key plays a newborn dream. And then the string quartet so softly plays, each note sounds so sublime. But then again, you finish out with the sax in three-quarter time because you want the three-quarter time because you want that little notable essence to sing all by itself in the moment, and it should be that end moment. Nicely done. Stay around.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Now listen. I got a surprise. Everybody ready? We have two more calls.
Bam.
Now don't go trying to take my thunder. We have two callers. We have Gray Eyes Smith and Pam.
Hi, everyone.
Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Hi, Rex.
Hey, Gray. Hey, Pam.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Phil. Robbie. Hi, Gray. Good to hear you all.
Great to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you. Absolutely. That's awesome.
You bring your saxes with you?
You know it.
You just leave their sax out of it. You just leave their sax out of it, man.
but I brought my sax robot. Man.
Oh, God. I don't think Jean was actually walking that way, but she might be now.
But we never know what way Jean's walking. Sometimes she's just stumbling through.
Well, you got to go back to Aerosmith for that one. Walk this way.
Walk this way.
Sax robot on auto-tune.
Wowzers. I don't know what they're talking about. How about you, Gray?
Well, that's kind of like the movie Airplane, where they had the autopilot engaged, except he kept losing air, and you know where the filler up was.
Oh my God! I don't know, guys. It's gonna be one of them nights.
Okay,
here.
We best move on then.
That might be safer. Okay, let me see. Jason, you called in before Pam. How about I get you to you read this next one for me? You should have seen what I typed before I... Wow, that was bad. Okay. I'm coming, Gray. Here we go. Whenever you're ready, hon.
Okay, thank you. This is called As I to You by Patrick Childs. A raging river, born of a steady calm, a balmy breeze sways a motionless palm, the steady rhythm of a soft summer rain, the dance as it falls to a silent refrain. As the night's cloak dawns, a moon-lit shroud lives in eerie silence in the black of the night, echoing its eternal greetings and anticipating its burning desire for the sweet morning light. As both are endlessly together, as being only unto each other, as forever to each other, so true, surely as I to you. A breathtaking view from the eagle's sky, while a golden sun sets in our mind's eye. An angry whale's cry sings to the deep, echoing a melody through the fathoms that lullabies a restless ocean sleep. On a journey to a gray and misty realm, in a time of riddle and make-believe, spirits spins a loom that threads our passions into our lives that becomes its weave. As both are endlessly together, as being only unto each other, as forever to each other so true, surely, as I to you. End poem.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to kick off.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Yeah, great read there, Gray. I really liked the nature imagery throughout this. And what I like is especially is how on the basis, you know, the main theme being the whole idea of taking a walk along the river, taking a walk out in nature together. But what especially impresses me is that the whole idea that nature and music and love kind of have this intertwining with each other, this representation of each other. I really like how he has that repetitive lines of as both are endlessly together. Not really repetitive, but there's kind of almost a feeling of repetition that works really well for a lyrical quality. And I like how he notices how the journey of the river and the music of the river and the moon and all that works together as the lovers, as the partners work together. So beautifully written and very well done.
Nicely said, Dan. Thank you very much. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, the way the poem had flowed from one stanza to the other, it felt like each stanza was its own scene, its own scenario. But with that in mind, it still felt like it was having different phrases in one sentence. It still felt like it was all linked together. So all the scenes, all the little scenes added up to one overall picture.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Robbie. And Jean, how about you?
I knew you were coming to me eventually. There's something about
eventually,
this.
Yeah.
I love the imagery in it. Oh, good. I am not blocked. I love the imagery in it. I loved how it went from nature to love to all this. But somehow he managed to really tie this that backdrop of the saxophone in here. It does pull together, and it makes sense, you know, because I'm reading it and I'm listening to Gray read it, I'm going, and I could see it. I could sense it. And I think that says a lot for this piece. So definitely a great job, Patrick, and thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Well said, Jean. Thank you. And Gray, you got to read it. How about you?
You know, I really like the parallel between nature and love. You know, a breathtaking view from the eagle's sky while the golden sun sets in her mind. An angry whale's cry sings to the deep, echoing a melody through the fathoms. I mean, you can see all that as you read through it. So it's very visceral, and it's very emotive as well. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Gray. Thank you. And I walk along those same tones, but I'm going to go this a little bit differently. It is about love, but on a different level. Because those two stanzas, the raging river and the breathtaking view, they're very two very different scenes, yet they both work together for the same thing as the chorus essence of as both are endlessly together, as being only unto each other, as forever to each other so true, surely as I to you. To me, that represents the musician and the horn in the moment, or guitar, or whatever other instrument they bond with. And it speaks of the true. As long as you are true to me, I shall be true to you. It only works if they both work in concert together. Otherwise, that particular sound doesn't get produced, and not in that voice either. So, nicely done, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Jean, you're coming back your way.
I better do something then. Holy plan. Sorry.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Oh, my God. Let me see. I got Pam here. So, Pam, I have one for you. My friend, my pal, my buddy. I almost put it on the bottom of that last poem. Gene, wake up. Get with it. Oh, is Babbler here? Wait. I don't know. I don't see her on the line yet, but if she's calling,
maybe
I was just getting ready to put her piece up.
Stopping on the board to say hi.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put her piece up for you to read if she's going to come and read it. I don't see her anywhere. Let's see. Hi, Babbler.
She's in there somewhere. I think about
okay,
halfway down.
Oh, she says she is not calling in.
Know.
Okay.
I just had it in my cursor to go ahead and put down for you, see?
All right.
She says go for it.
Go, Pam, go.
All right. So this is Highs and Lows by Babbler. And it goes like this. Smoke draws circles around our ankles, mixing with brandy swirling in tumblers. Nimble fingers press down circular keys, breathing a melody into the haze. Gold dust tickles our eyelids, tinting an era etched in rings, lazily tumbling from a turntable. Only the cream flows out as it churns, kitten heels and fishnets, lines drawn from heel to thigh, short roller curls and sleepy eyeliner, feathers and three-piece suit, no Jim Crow, no impending crash, all the high and none of the withdrawal, opiate for my eardrums. Take me by the hand and spin me just so, eyes locking to the sound of bass, no cell phones in sight, drunk on golden days that never existed. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, you did a beautiful read on that, Pam. And Babbler, this poem is fantastic. You know, you can feel the love that you have for the saxophone in this. You know, take me by the hand and spin me just so, eyes locking to the sound of brass, no cell phones in sight, drunk on the golden days that never existed. You know, just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
Hang on, you got to come back to me. Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Robbie?
What I liked was that there's a few things in there that spoke to me that helped hook me into the poem because I have my own turntable at home. A lot of people don't have turntables now, but I have my dad's record collection and like DJ records. And so it was nice to hear the reference to a turntable, especially because it brings back that old feeling of, you know, listening to a turntable and listening to soft jazzy music and that. And I like the personification of it there, like lazily tumbling from a turntable. And then where it says about twirl me, where does it go exactly? Oh, yeah, take me by the hand and spin me just so. And I used to do dancing a few years back, and I miss it. And that part helped hook me into the poem, too. It just made me think of those, almost physically made me, like, recall, you know, that feeling of when you're twirling somebody around and a dance. So all of that really helped to get me to get the whole real experience of the poem, like to feel it more viscerally.
Nice. I like that. Thank you very much, Robin. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this is great, you know, in reading it, because, of course, I was otherwise occupied. I find that it paints an incredible picture as a noir movie. You know, it has that, and you have that element of the background music, at least in my head. I don't know about anybody else. I can only attest for me, and I'm crazy. But I can get that sound in the back of my head for the saxophone as you're reading this imagery coming through, and I think it's a wonderful meld of thought and words, really, because it sparks that image, and I think that makes it a wonderful, wonderful piece, you know, because it creates something. It creates something that, how do I say it? It, like, makes something happen that shouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying there? You get that music playing in your head when you're reading these images. And, you know, like I said, I'm crazy. But I think you did a hell of a job there, Babbler, and thanks for sharing. That's what I'm going to say.
Well said there, Gene. Thank you very much. Great comments, everybody. I love that opening stanza. It's a nice drawing of something, that smoky barroom scene, so to speak. Nicely drawn out as well. And the back end hits on that note of when the music's over, you turn out the lights. There's those feelings drawn from and elicited by the music. You want that nicety, but life isn't drawn that way. So you can only briefly angle at it, but never really own it unless you're, well, you know, on another plane of existence, Zen-like anyway. Nicely done, Babbler. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Yeah.
I'll try and be quiet and not yell so much there, Rex. I'll be good. Otherwise, Pam will throw me out.
I'm not going to throw you out. Then I end up having to do your job.
Jeez. Sounds like you want to leave early.
Pam's the bouncer.
Okay.
There we go. We'll put this next one up. And this is by Eric Svensson. So we have a wonderful audio for that. So let me hit the button.
Mind-blowing stuff. The Harley Davidson of instruments. Sure. Chrome fender bender heart strings bugle from deep throated guttural grunge noise to hitting heavenly high notes. When the saxophone speaks, I'm on a sleek, sexy Harley cruising Route 66. Met this magical, mighty rascal instrument at 18. Tramp accompanied a lady to the matric dance, stepped slow dance into Baker Street. Raphael Ravenscroft revved his slick chrome machine, Sassy moves with lights dimmed, lady swooned, tramp sweated, for in the lower extremities there were guttural rumblings, slow twill of disco ball deflected, pronounced portions. Mighty mojo machines spoke in foreign tongues, virgin territory opened up magical vistas. Music has mighty power, tramp discovered on Baker Street, saxophone sounds scalloped convex rainbows, sprightly yellow lemon drops bounced a spring day, smoky blues beguiled, ladies became tramps and vice versa. Sheer chrome fender bender saxophone notes tweaked haywire heartstrings. Wind in the willows, reed in the mouth, breath activates the Harley Davidson of instruments. Deep throat guttural grunge or featherlight notes skim waves. Stillness of blue Nordic ice tingles. Close to the equator, heat rises. Intensity of limbs, juxtaposition of relaxed hips. Curve of backbone as saxophone devours more breath. High notes seed clouds, thunderstorms on savanna plains when the saints go marching. If the devil went to Georgia to fiddle, Michael went to heaven playing the saxophone. Saxophone parts respond to parts of your body. Sacred and profane notes anoint trembling lips. Breath swallowed composes spine chills scores. Never breathed so well as that night on Baker Street. 18-wheeler teenager tramp in a slow-mo maneuver dance. Oracle, oh oracle, a saxophone in skilled hands and strong lungs. By the time Tina Turner's beau blew his horn on stage, farm boy chrysalis cracked wide open on city slicker streets. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Robbie, we're going to give you first up on this. What do you think?
Well, he really captured the entire spectrum there of the sound of the saxophone and how that can correspond to like the whole emotional spectrum. A lot of times with an instrument, people will focus on just like one aspect of its sound or and what kind of feelings that entails. Not all the time, but often. But this one, that he went for the whole spectrum, and the how he had the picture kind of amplified that feeling because he was really showing the whole part of it, the whole thing of it. And I really liked the way he had likened or compared the saxophone to a Harley Davidson. That I could imagine that rumble and something that actually that like, you know, like when you hear that Bad to the Bones phone and I could hear like a saxophone version of that, you know, with, or like a more brass heavy version of that, you know?
Oh, I get you.
Yeah.
Great comment. Thank you very much. Pam, how about you? Pam, you there?
I am. Did you say my name besides when
yeah.
I just... Oh, okay, I heard absolutely nothing. Just static. Sorry. I really liked this. I like that it's a coming-of-age story and a growing into adulthood story. It's very captivating, and I like the fact that it's centered around the saxophone, the various music of the saxophone. I like how, you know, he calls it the sleek sex, you know, the what does he call it? The Harley Davidson or something? I can't remember what he called it. Shoot, it was in my mind and then I blanked it out. Oh, the Harley, yeah, right, the first line, the Harley instrument. I thought that was really cool. I like how he takes us on kind of this journey through different countries, through the land of music, the smoky blues, and I really like the phrase tweaked haywire heartstrings. And I like how this is about learning to love, learning to move on, learning to play and appreciate the saxophone and the music. And this is such just an amazing line. If the devil went to Georgia to fiddle, Michael went to heaven playing the saxophone. That is just, I have to say that's one of the most brilliant saxophone lines I have ever seen. It's very cool, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you? Gray, you there?
Yeah, I just had an epic comment, but but no, that was both gritty and smooth. You know, he delivered a musical composition in his words, and I thought that was powerful stuff. Excellent job.
Great commentary, everybody. This was a wonderful piece, right from the open. From deep-throated guttural grunge noise to hitting heavenly high notes, when the saxophone speaks, I'm on a sleek, sexy Harley cruising Route 66. Boy, it rolls down the windows to late 50s, early 60s, Route 66 magic. Then he brings in Baker Street, which is a great sax song by Raphael Ravenscroft. And he went again when the devil went down to Georgia. You got the fiddle on that one up against the power of the horn. And the fiddle just doesn't stand in the way. Nicely done, Eric. Thank you very much. Gene, did I get you by chance?
You did not, but I didn't take offense. I was like, maybe he just doesn't want to hear me babble anymore. actually, I thought this was a wonderful job by Eric. I thought it was a well-composed piece, chock full of thoughts, info, and imagery. You know, he has a way of doing that. He puts so much into his rights. So great job, Eric. And I'm glad he shared it. Absolutely.
Now I'm coming right back to you.
I know.
I screwed that one up nicely.
Yeah, well, you know. That's the way it happens. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this one up for you, Rex, so whenever you're ready.
All right. New Orleans, Summer of 2021 by S. Sharp. We wandered the streets of New Orleans on trolleys and follies and jambalaya scenes. Hurricanes aplenty and beads nonstop for the young and drunk and out from under the top. But the best of the city lies in the live street shows, where the sax comes dancing, hands slapping thighs, notes wiggling the toes, keys seem to scream like passions of sound, making love to the air, waves like that of John Coltrane sound. End poem. All right, Pam, we're going to start with you, please.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. This is an amazing poem because to me he's captured that energy, that vibe. I mean, the attention to detail in this brevity is just wonderful because it's not just about the New Orleans music, the John Coltrane sound. I mean, that is the center of the poem, but and it's about the dance, the food, the emotions found, the you know, delving into that world of music and joy and pleasure, and even that he brings up the trolleys and the jambalaya and you know, the hurricanes of plenty, with a nod towards the infamous drink from around that area. You know, this is the kind of poem that really makes you just want to tap your feet and snap your fingers and smile. It's an excellent write and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, just kind of continuing on Pam's comment, to me, New Orleans is one of those places where everything really is a part of everything else. In the sense that, like, the music is, how do I say it? Like, the music is part of the food is part of the music. Like, the spirit of New Orleans really does permeate everything. And in this poem, he really captured that that part of New Orleans very well. That, like, every image had in this poem really feeds into the other one. Like, if he's talking about food, you know, if he's talking about food at one point, it kind of feeds into the energy of when he talks about the music later on, that sort of thing.
Excellent. Thank you, Robbie. And Jean, how about you?
I think this is a great piece, and I love the imagery of New Orleans and the thoughts and all that. And I think that ties in so nicely with the sex thought as for the contest and for the show. And I think that he did a wonderful job with it, absolutely. You know, it wasn't a ton of words. It wasn't very dense, you know, but I think he really it was perfect. It was just enough. So nice job, S. Sharp.
Mm-hmm. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I feel this piece really took you to New Orleans, the heart of the city, and I guess that would be Bourbon Street at night. And, you know, the beauty of that place and that time is captured just profoundly in this right. So fantastic job.
Thank you, Greg. Great comments, everybody. You all kind of hit on everything. I think the that first eight lines where he gets down to that hurricanes of plenty, that is definitely a nod to drink, but I think it was kind of a nice sly double note of the fact that, yeah, we get hurricanes, but you know what? We pick it up, and we still get to do the live shows and all the other goodies on Bourbon Street, so never fear, we'll always be here. And in that note, the John Coltrane sitting on the back end of this was a nice touch as well. Yeah. All right, Jean, coming back your way.
Oh. Okie dokie. Okay, Robbie, I have one for you. And here it goes. On the board.
Okay. Let me just get that in a new tab here. There we go. So, sax sets the tone. Sax sets the tone. Pick or choose, will vibes come from jazz or blues? Music often invokes passion. Playing from the heart reads from a musician's chart. Many notes get varied notes. Varied boats. Occasional highs to skid row lows. Enjoyment of goal with their deployment. Free verses footloose, while romantic feels poetic. For rockers, guitar often takes lead. Other styles use woodwinds to set the speed. Maestro out front for their shows. Alto, baritone, soprano, different levels to revel. Split reed distorts the feed. Minstrel moans wildly, while a crooner leaves us lovesick. Many think jazz is boring, while mellow fellow rises to screaming madness before realizing to whom they owe the gladness. Many sounds from minor or profound fill a niche melodies, answer, a hidden wish. Truly, true artists can naturally feel authentic. Wonder now if Mr. Sachs would relax, hearing how his sound has become so profound, widely heard from orchestras, barrooms, and radios. We are left to take our pick of how a sound will get our vote. Systemic strumming or low humming. From brass, you ask? For some reason, the equation only asked if the sax is majestic. And there's a note here. I just saw that there's a note from Reader
ahead.
For thoughts on saxophony. Have always used music to set the vibe or even ideas for writing prose, so felt compelled. But oddly, not hard line follower or particular sax players. Like words are also as many ways to interpret sounds, so always interesting to me to see how others see the sounds.
Excellent.
Nice.
Thank you very much, Robbie. That was wonderful. And Gray, why don't we start with you? Are you muted again,
yeah.
Gray?
I am. I'm so sorry. But, no, you did a wonderful read on that, Robbie. And I like the poem. You know, it captures all the different instruments and their placements in the music and in our lives. And I thought he captured that just brilliantly. You know, especially that last stanza. We are left to take our pick of how a sound will get our vote. Systemic strumming or low humming from brass, you ask. For some, the equation only answered if the sax is majestic. And how true is that? Beautiful, right?
Thank you, Greg. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I have to agree with everybody. I think that it was a well-written piece, clever work. I think that there was a lot of really great lines throughout. And I'm with Gray. That last stanza, you know, tied it up nice with a bow. You know, we're left to take our pick of how the sound will get our vote, systemic strumming or low humming from British UN. For some, we can only answer if the sax is majestic. I mean, you know, it was a good way to finish off the piece. I think it was well done.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
I really liked this. I thought it was a well-balanced piece in the idea that it offers up some of the technical stuff about music, like the mention of the reed, but then also the emotional part and how, as someone mentioned, we all respond differently to different types of instruments, to different types of notes. I really like that he opens up with sax, sets the tone, pick or choose, will vibes come from jazz or blues? And then he goes into it about rockers and guitars and then mentions the different kinds of saxophones. And I like that there's those questions at the end, like wonder now if Mr. Sax would relax hearing how his sound has become a profound, widely heard from orchestras, bar rooms, and radios. And I like that because to me it touches on the idea of how far we've come in the history of the saxophone and how it reaches out to so many different people. I actually today, because I was Googling heavy metal bands that use the saxophone, came across a new band that I don't know if they're new. They're new to me because I just discovered them today thanks to searching. So you just never know what you're going to find. I mean, really, there's so many different ways that the saxophone connects people of different genres and musical tastes. So excellent write here and very well done.
Well, thank you, Ben. And Robbie, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, what it reminded me of is kind of like what I've seen in my own life when I've been to musical shows and that, where there sometimes you get into this cool feeling of a friendly musical competition. Like they're competing, but they're not competing. You know, they're just trying to see, like, yeah, let's see who's on form tonight, you know? And it gave me a smile to think of it in that way. And it's kind of a tangential thought when Pam had mentioned about Googling, you know, heavy metal people using the saxophone, and you never know, like, the – and this poem had little hints of that. You never know about the relationship of music to itself or to other people, because I've heard people talk about how classical music actually had influence for heavy metal, because with classical music, you didn't have amplifiers back in the day, right? And you had, and the audience had to hear. So the music had to be overdriven, so to speak. Like, you had a lot of really loud instruments. I mean, even if the loud instrument was playing a softer song, it was played really loudly so that everybody could hear it. And that idea of music being, like, overdriven is like an idea that influenced heavy metal. So that kind of came out as a tangential thought as I was kind of listening to Pam's comment.
Nice. I got kind of from the tone itself, it comes across as slightly clinical and analytical, but with the language used, it offers up that warmth of tone from the sax itself. Many notes get varied notes, orchestral highs to skid row lows. Then there's free verses, footloose, while romantic feels poetic. Nice touches and allusions to actually way the varied notes can pull a person's mind and what you see and feel in the moment. And this is exactly what Rick has done with this piece. Excellent piece. Thank you very much, Rick. All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Well, Pam, I have the next one for you. And, you know, earlier when you said to Rex, did you say my name before this? And he said, yes, I did. I started to chuckle to myself, and I was going to tell you you needed a new piece of string between those two tin cans. And then I put your piece up, and I read the title, and I started to laugh. So just sharing that little tidbit. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Oh, that's funny.
It was
tin
funny.
Can poetry and the vinyl message, and it goes like this. Storms didn't just happen on Mondays. She walked down the streets listening to Vi Red. The soul knew what it wanted. She adored the scratch of vinyl, tin can poetry, beatboxing, graffiti that sends a message. She got off on tracking down new talent to the hip-hop scene. Synergy and energy was where her mind always flowed. Elemental, sentimental, funk fusion, where the old and new mingled and spoke to the individual hidden in the crowd. It was all so good, but her heart skipped a beat when the saxophone crooned. It was her instrument of choice. It was her voice. It was her cherry popping religion. The clarinet may have started the race, but the saxophone lit the fire in the sky of a woman's confidence. When it went into that upward swing, her body wanted to move like a windblown string of baubles on the cool Atlantic waves. Grass was a city girl's sensuality, bold, beautiful, and playing the players with nightclub notes saying, "You're nothing to me but a distraction." Sometimes someone prays Coltrane with a heart full of alto sax, and the rhythm made her realize she wanted something more. Fools called it love. She didn't give a damn what it was called, as long as it made her feel high like Sonny and Kamazi. All night long, if the music was right, made for flight and out of sight, she went to sleep around 4 a.m. with a bass sax and cello, arguing politics and cornbread recipes. They spoke to her, giving her dreams of that funkadelic jazz scene, the groovy, the blessed, and the obscene, all wanting to blow the right notes. End poem.
Great read, Pam. All right, Jean, you got first. Aha. But you got to unmute first. But cut the cursing right now.
You want everything. What is that? You always want everything. Unmute. give a comment, whatever. See, Tim? Pam, this was dynamite. It really was. When you first started in, you started in kind of slow, and you walked it into exactly where you wanted it to be, and boy, you came out smoking on the other end of that whole panoramic that you painted. Just fabulous work, and sensual, but not overly sensual. It just really had all the notes to it, and it was just dynamite and really well done, really well done. I'm not sure where else to go with that, PM. It was just really, really, really well done.
Oh, that's a great comment. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, when I was kind of turning my gears in my mind, with the poem and then with the comments too, I was thinking about how with this poem it's longer than usual, but it's like just at a right length where it's more of a poem story or poetic story. So it's long enough that it takes a little more time to paint the scene, but it's not so long that you start to drift off or you start to say to yourself, well, is this like a prose poem that I'm supposed to read and, you know, like maybe two parts. So it's just at that right length. I don't know if that was like intended or not, but also this is the second poem that I've heard about vinyl today. And I really enjoy that because as I mentioned before, I have a new appreciation for vinyl, and there's something about vinyl that it's just its own unique thing. You know, you could have the best technology in the world producing the best sound, but it's not even about whether the sound is better. It's like vinyl is better in a different wave. It has a certain atmosphere. Like people like the crackle. I like the crackle, and it has a warmth mm-hmm. to it. There's a warmth to vinyl music that you just absolutely cannot replicate, and expansiveness. And I think that the poem had spoke to that. And it was very noirish, like jazz, like a jazz noir sort of a thing. And I think that really interwove very well with the idea of a vinyl message.
Thank you very much.
Nicely said, Robbie. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Well, there's power emanating from this poem that says, I am the sax, feel my crooning. You can feel her movement of her soul through the words and through the music that's brought to her by the sax itself. And I thought it was just a powerful poem, Pam.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely.
Great comment, Gray. I got to go with this song. This first half is all of the modern stuff, the synergy, the energy, the elemental cinema, the funk fusion, all of that, because she hits on that, what was it, the beat bopping and something else, the hip-hop scene and all that. So she's running in that realm where she sees all this all the time, but that you get to that one point, but her heart skipped a beat when the saxophone crooned. It was her instrument of choice. It was her voice. It was her cherry popping religion. That right there says who and what she is and what the sax actually means. And everything else from there on down, it's on that note of the elemental nature of the sound itself and what it draws on, what it makes one feel and think in the moment. And that's what that one's about, I think. Slightly.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Robbie, you have a good night, and thanks for calling in and hanging with us tonight. A lot of fun.
Yes, thank you, Robbie.
Good dog. Leaving me.
All right, Jeannie.
Don't turn off the radio yet, though.
Oh, Jeannie.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to put up the next piece, and Rex, if you would be so kind and read that for us.
Oh, boy.
You can do it.
Let's see, where is it? Hammer and Nocturne's Jazzy Rain. I walk these cold, cruel streets alone, all on the notes of a bluesy saxophone. Lay my brass on the line whenever I dine on midnight's bang-bang moonshine. Lamppost shuck and jive keeps me alive in dark alleyed prose. Milk and cookie steam and smoke and stogie stream, this old 45's iron-hearted pose. This steel and glass landscape, screaming ties and tape melodious notes, are baritone bleeders, tapping toes, no fire escape from bottom feeders, ghostly shapes, and deadly do-wrong disagrees. Some walk these streets alone, dancing dolls of methadone, clicking heels to Harlem's nocturne, echoing peals to the groan and mournful moan, call on the city's wyvern. My fedora's to blame, I ain't been the same since putting it on, but the game I play in a night's foray led it before the dawn. And Paul.
Nice piece. Pam, would you like to start us off?
I would. First of all, I wonderful read there, Rex. Oh, my goodness. I'm so thankful that Phil didn't make me go after you. This just, it paints a wonderful scene all the way through. I thought Harlem Nocturne was a great choice. It was actually one of the ones I considered writing to. So just a wonderful choice of a song to inspire you. And what I really like is it's not just the song itself, but you bring us into that whole noir feel, a walk down the city street, you know, filled with, you know, those smoking stogies, the music, the baritone bleeders tapping toes, no fire escape from bottom feeders, ghostly shapes and deadly do-wrong, disagreeing. You show us both the beautiful and ugly side of a smoky jazz-filled street, you know, and a city. I really like some walk these streets alone, dancing dolls of methadone, clicking heels to Harlem nocturnes, echoing peals to groan and mournful. You know, like no matter how ugly life gets, there's still jazz to help us through it so that we can, you know, again see the light of dawn. So just absolutely a stunning write and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam.
Okay, Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, you did a beautiful read on that, and the poem itself, it took me to seeing a sax player under the lamppost playing his pain onto the night air of a dark and steam-filled avenue. You know, that's kind of the picture that I painted, the classic New Orleans backstreet sax player. You know, just a wonderful, forlorn piece steeped with music throughout it.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely.
Nice. I have to say, Rex, this is a really great piece. I don't know what I just did over there. I ended up somewhere else. I loved how you started out. I walked these cold, cruel streets alone. That reminded me of a song lyric. And I'm not sure which one.
Well, actually,
I don't know if it was
if you listen to Harlem Nocturne, I tried following that beat.
Okay. Isn't that weird? I don't know. I have to come up with whatever
the
line was.
There's a piece in the song, too, where the beat changes. So that also changes with the third stanza. The fourth one. Lamppost shuck and jive keeps me alive in dark alley prose. Milk and cookie steam and smoke and stogie stream. This old 45's iron-hearted pose. Then it goes back into its original plane.
I Walk These Streets Alone, I believe, is a song from Green Day. Not that I'm saying Rex copied a song from Green Day. I'm just saying that that's Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yes, yes. I went and I looked because I had it typed in before Gray had finished his comment because I was like, wow, it just sounds so familiar. And I know you didn't, like, lift it for that reason, but it really grabbed my attention because I'm like, okay. And you know, there's, as I think, it's I Walk These Lonely Streets Alone. You know, so it is different. But it drew me in, and I kind of was like, okay. And then I started listening, and I'm going, all right. You know, and I think you did an excellent job with this. And in the same respect, I love that ending stanza and how you you tied it up at the end. And, you know, because the fedora gives you, it really does have that noir kind of appeal to me. You know, it wasn't real heavy on it, but it was enough. That's definitely enough to keep you on that thought pattern. But, yeah, the fedora was a great addition at the end. So, wonderful job, Rex, really wonderful job. But I like it.
Thank you, Jean. Well, Ted Gang, thank you. The who?
I was going to say, were you supposed to sing this, maybe? Maybe.
I did, and then I lost the damn beat in the moment. So I had to read it.
I get
the thing is, now I remember the beat. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to make a SoundCloud of it so we can all listen to that.
That's right. Because I can't carry a tune in a bucket because my bucket has a hole in it.
Same here.
My bucket's got a hole in it. Yep. I have to comment on that piece. I can't close it yet. Okay. I'm going to read the next one. Don't all be jealous either because it's not a real long one. But it's by Betty Page. So... this one is called Romance for Two by Betty Page. Romance for Two. Dine on melodies, harmonies floating in air, twirling in our hearts. My favorite tunes, these jazz greatest of all time, instruments divine, set to moods of romance, notes dancing whimsically as we make love sweet. And follow.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you?
Well, I certainly hope Jean is getting some lemon water for that throat of hers after this long right.
I'm going to have another little sip of wine. It'll be okay.
There you go. The sip of wine will help. Now, I actually, this is an absolutely beautiful brevity. I like the romance tone to this. I like the music she chose to listen to was a great choice, or, you know, write to was a great choice. To me, what I really liked is that this spoke on the whole idea of jazz and love and how the two combine together. And I really particularly like notes dancing whimsically. I mean, so many great lines, but to me, the second stanza gave a nod to the jazz greatest and that my notes dancing whimsically, because to me it reminds us that both love and music don't have to always be taken seriously. Sometimes it can be about having fun in the moment, you know. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a great read on that, Phil. But, you know, this is a powerful little brevity, you know, speaking to the subject of making love to the sound of, you know, to the rhythm of jazz. And I thought it was just a beautiful painting of that scene.
Absolutely. Thank you, Green. All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, I thought it was an excellent brevity. I loved the picture she painted in the piece itself. You know, for only being, what, 369 lines? I mean, she really did paint a wonderful image, you know, for us all. It was a sharing of music and each other. Yeah, I think it was a great job. So, well done, Betty Page. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This gave me that tropical island flair. You know, the house sitting down by the beach, overlooking the water. You can hear it lapping away. Warm, balmy air. All the windows and doors are open. You got this nice breeze wafting through the place. And the curtains are just lightly lifting and folding. That's what this gives me, a scene of something exotic and heated in the moment. Literally and figuratively, of course.
What do you mean?
All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Gray, did you bring a piece? Or are you just here to listen?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'm going to put this one up by Gerald Green, and I'll find us another one.
Gabriel's Oboe, written and read by Gerald Green. Gabriel played again. His horn stood out above the orchestra, rejoicing for the message he delivered. He met her in the morning, told her not to fear his glory, not to fear his father's brilliant glory. And then he spoke of mercy's child, spoke of prophecy and virgin birth, blessing her with precious words of hope. Gabriel played again, as if the bells of heaven did not ring. He stood before musicians with his horn. He played his alto saxophone today. And I did not pretend to know his joy or gratitude within the notes he played. His music carried me and lifted up. It lifted to a better place and time when peace on earth will echo like a song. Gabriel played again. I heard him celebrate again today. He celebrated with a melody to bring encouragement to everyone, confirming all is well in Nazareth. The maiden's blessed journey has begun. The troubled world will never be the same. He played crescendo's arc to show the way of love about to enter Mary's womb. Gabriel played again. I felt his music touch my inner soul. It touched and left me higher than before. I cannot help but wonder how it is that horns and clarinets and rhythms beat change everything about the way I feel. But then, it's so much better than before. Although this place is full of harmony, where no complaints are ever voiced or heard. Gabriel played again.
Great read, Gerald. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't we kick it off with you?
Oh, I really like this. This is absolutely beautiful. First of all, before commenting on the poem, I wanted to point out that I found a saxophone-playing cow for my picture for tonight's show.
No, so,
And as far as this poem goes, I like the how the main theme is it's a message of spirituality. It's the coming of the angel to the Virgin Mary, the message of hope, the message of love and peace. And the background music was perfect because it wasn't too high, it wasn't too low. As I always say, you know, that's about balance, and he created that balance. But to me, besides the spiritual message, what I really found intriguing about this, and for me anyways, is that it really reminded me of how far back in history, because the thing is you don't have to be a religious person, you don't have to be a spiritual person, but you can find a lot of historically accurate things in the Bible. And people and places that really existed. And it's within, it's either the book of Genesis or the book of Exodus, that as far back as that, that the makers of brass, the makers of horns, the makers of wood, I mean, poem reminds us that from what we see as the dawn of history, there has been mention of horns, and even the book of Revelations says, you know, that the coming will be announced with the blasting of horns. And I'm sorry if I don't want to, you know, sound overly spiritual here, but, you know, I think it's just a nice reminder that throughout history, music has existed and will continue to exist and will continue to bring positive messages. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Well, you know, like Pam said, it was a very spiritual write, you know, carried away on the notes of music. And I thought it was a very beautifully sentimental poem as well. Fantastic poem.
Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
You know, when I was listening to this earlier when I loaded it, what a great and unique piece. I didn't expect a piece like this to come from a saxophone prompt, and I don't quite know why. But I really think that Gerald wrote something special here. And you know, it does lean to the religious side, and that's all right. You know, we all do that every now and again. As long as we don't fight about it, we're way above all the rest of the world. We have nothing better to do. But I think that the tale was really well told and expressed. What did I write here? Let me see what I wrote. It might make more sense than listening to me yammer. I said it was an excellent SoundCloud. I love the story that he told throughout. I said it was well written and well expressed. I thought it was a great share. Thank you, Gerald.
Oh, absolutely. I think he told it twice, right near the bottom. I cannot help but wonder how it is that horns and clarinets and rhythms beat change everything about the way I feel. And he opened up with the thought of Gabriel played again. And there's that note of giving the answer up front and then asking the question to finish out the bomb, which was a nice way of connecting the two by making a real reality in the moment, because you know why they make you roll this way and you feel the way you do. It's because it pulls at you, and you just explain the whole gamut from gratitude within the notes he played. Music carried me up and lifted up. He played crescendos off to show the way. all of this walks that nice touch of feeling from each section of the music and how the interaction in the horns work. Nicely done there, Gerald. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
God, I forgot what I was going to do. I don't know. Well, Gray, I guess I'm going to give you this one to read. That was silly. Where did I go now? Okay. Here we go, Greg. I'm quick. This one's already been there.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Mercy on me. Leave that wine alone. It can be dangerous. Okay. Whenever you're ready, Greg.
Okay. This is called Polished Brass by Poetic Creations. It looks trippy, seeing those keys paralleling the strings as the melody and tempo climb. The saxophone chimes in, and so blue becomes mine. The gold notes, they double at times. Honey, nectar, and wine. Darkness spreads, but polished brass shines. And boom.
Great, great, great. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what you got?
Oh, I don't know. I think this was a great brevity, absolutely. I wasn't, you know, it looks trippy seeing those keys. I'm like, okay. You know, paralleling the strings as melody and tempo climb, the saxophone chimes in. I don't know. I think it was just a great little snapshot, really. And then when he went into the honey, nectar, and wine, I thought, well, there you go. Because, you know, I think that you get the same depth from honey, nectar, and wine as you can get in the depth of the music from a saxophone. Well, maybe I'm just crazy, but I think so. So nice job, PC, and well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. Gray, you got to read that. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a wonderful brevity, you know, about the shiny brass against the darkness. You know, knowing that that's... singing into that darkness as a saxophone is a beautiful picture. Well done.
And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this. It's a wonderful brevity. One of the things that impresses me about PC is how he can so quickly come up with something. Like this afternoon, I was playing music in LNP, and I had put up this video of John Coltrane and Stan Getz playing the song Autumn in New York, but it wasn't just them. Like, one of them was playing piano, one of them was playing the saxophone, but there was also a cello player. And so, you know, to me that I like that he watched this video. He had posted these lines in the LNP chat and then decided that it would make a nice poem to, you know, put in the contest. And I'm really glad he did. Because I felt like with these lines, with the mention of, you know, it looks trippy seeing those keys paralleling the strings, and as the melody and tempo climbs, he really, I kind of wish he'd been able to post the video, you know, but underneath his right. But I recommend anybody get a chance, go ahead and go watch it, you know, when you get a chance after the show. But I like how, you know, he pays tribute to all the instruments, and then, you know, how he has because the saxophone doesn't come in right away. And I've noticed that listening to a lot of music the past couple of days, I noticed there are plenty of times when you have to be patient and wait for the saxophone to chime in. So that was, to me, a great middle line. And there was a kind of a nice sensuality in the line, honey, nectar, and wine. Just a excellent brevity and very well done.
Nice to sit there. And yes, most saxes don't start out, but I think Baker Street does. Have you heard that one yet?
I've heard Baker Street. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. That one does start out with a sax. But that's rare. Anyway,
yes.
The sax is usually built in for a nice mood change, something to either push it darker, push it deeper, push it brighter in the moment, which kind of opens up the music phonically. And he's hitting on just those two, which Pam just explained, of a Coltrane and Getz in the moment, doing a little seamless back and forth, one endowing the other with a bit more thought and emphasis, while the other kind of spreads that. Honey, nectar, and wine, darkness spreads. That was a nice touch to how the piano can be dark in tone as well. And then to finish out with polished brass shine. So there's that note to Coltrane just picking up the tempo and driving the sound itself. Nicely done, Poetic. Thank you. All right, Jean. We're coming back your way.
Guilty.
Guilty?
Let me see now. I think that's the scariest first two words of any sentence I can give you. Okay, Pam, I got the next one up for you. This is by Kelsey D.
Okie dokie. All right. This is Rebirthing John Coltrane by Kelsey D. And it goes like this. Never mind the hesitant horn, the anticipating heart afraid to pound, too anxious to beat its own drum. Never mind the lazy bartenders, the bored patrons, rising in the middle of the song, their glasses left weeping like a broken chord. Never mind the laboring musicians pursuing prominence the way children stumble along a giant's footsteps. Never mind the stale notes falling flat, a gumble without a roux, a watered-down sound desperate for acknowledgement. Never mind the forced melody clinging too tight like an expected mother in a spandex dress. Never mind the panting rage of circumstance, how you were taken too soon, the stars never to align again. I have all I need when I think of you, my love supreme, my one blue note wailing through the pains of dissonance. In my underbelly, an alto growl will always pound, a bass note psalm thrumming low, forever leaving me sunken to my knees, searching for a resolution. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
You did a beautiful read on that, Pam. But, you know, I really like the poem throughout its storyline. It really pulls you along, be kicking and screaming to the finish, and you know, it ends with sunken to my knees, searching for a resolution. And, you know, it leaves you in that place of not knowing where you are and what's going on. I really liked it. You know, it was a fantastic write. Excellent, excellent poem.
Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
Wow, I'm sitting here trying to figure out where I want to go. You know, I found that it was just an excellent piece in many different directions as well. You know, we get down here and then where the heck is it? God, I just saw it here. You know, you think of the saxophone and you get into the different elements of you know, that fits with it. Let's put it that way. And there's all these little notes to it, like a giant's footstep. Never mind the stale notes falling flat. You know, there's stale notes to me. You know, it's a smoky barroom kind of thought went through my head. A gumbo without a roux. You know, it puts you down into, you know, Louisiana and all that. And, you know, the references were wonderful here because it just kept you right where she wanted you to be or he wanted you to be throughout the poem, and I think it was just really wonderfully done and wonderfully expressed. So that's what I'm going to say right there. No more flounder.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Did you say my name?
Yeah.
There is
it. Okay, that's what I thought. Sorry. Well, first of all, I mean, I'm just trying to picture myself in any one of my pregnancies in the third trimester trying to put on a spandex dress. I just can't imagine that. So I actually thought that while, you know, that image made me laugh, it also was kind of a relatable metaphor in the whole idea of the ridiculous struggle of a pregnant woman trying to fit into spandex.
You know, there was I like how the opening lines really set the tone as far as the scenery goes. Like, I like that how she referred to the glasses as weeping. Their glasses left weeping, like that whole idea of the condensation from the ice melting. And you can see how nobody really cares. Nothing has any meaning. And to me, the bottom half of this really can be conveyed in that whole quote, and I'm paraphrasing it, that says something along the lines, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. And I feel like the last few lines is really about that, that while everyone else around her or around the character is unhappy, despite having lost love, they still have this kind of contentment because they knew at one point they had it. So just an intriguing and emotive write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I thought the most important lines were the finishing five. I have all I need when I think of you, my love supreme, my one blue note wailing through the pains of dissonance. In my underbelly, an alto growl will always pound, a bass note song thrumming low, forever leaving me sunken to my knees, searching for a resolution. And I think that's the back end of a really bad day up here with the rest of the thought. Never mind the hesitant horn, never mind the lazy bartenders, never mind the stale notes, never mind the forced melody, never mind the panting range. Rage. There is that note of, boy, it's been a really bad day. And the last five not lines are my sanity in the moment. I like that. Nicely done, Kelsey. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. Back your way.
Yep. Well, I'm coming back to you, Rex, because I got one for you to read.
Okie dokie. All right, where are you? Aha, there you be. Ah, yes. That's Dumb by Lawrence, 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in That's Dumb. Hey, look here. Hey, look, here comes Dumb and Dumber. What you talk about, boy? Yeah, what you talk about, boy? You heard me. I said, here comes Dumb and Dumber. Yeah? Okay, well, si bueno pantalones cajones. Well, what? And Alfie just said in Spanglish, yes, good shitty pants. You said, what, Alfie? I don't know. I can't speak other languages, but cat, and I know a little dog, some rats, and a bit of raccoon, and that's enough, Alfie. Well, you asked. I said, that's enough. Now, where were we? Oh, I remember. So you're looking for trouble, bud, calling us dumb and dumber? Case in point. So which of us is dumber? Him. Aha, he pointed at you, Nigel. No, he didn't. He pointed at you. Nuh-uh, you dumber. You're dumber. You're dumber. La, 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 la. I can't hear nothing, Nigel. Dumber. La, 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 la. I'm not, la, 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 I can't hear nothing. The Adventures of Dumb and Dumber. What's this got to do with the saxophone prompt? Oh, it's always about you, isn't it? Me, all of the time. Fine. I went to Rent-A-Own down at Rent-A-Center, but they didn't have no saxophone, so I went home. And instead, I wrote this poem. And poem. And poem. Mm-hmm. All right, Pam, what you got? Am I even here?
Yes, you're
here.
My name.
Oh, it was so quiet. I thought everybody died.
I keep getting such bad static that I can tell that
like you're talking, but I'm never 100% sure if you said my name. But this, oh, that was such a great read, Rex. Oh my gosh, I did crack up at the where you said, "What you talking about, boy?" Because you sounded like you reminded me of that one sitcom from the 1980s with the little black kid that said to his brother, was always like, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Yeah.
But I really liked the way you pulled off all the voices. Again, another fun adventure with Nigel and Elfie, smile-inducing. It's got that kind of whole slapstick-type humor to it. And then, of course, a humorous nod to the saxophone at the end. What's this got to do with the saxophone prompt? It's always about you, isn't it? Me, 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 all of the time. Just a clever, fun, and enjoyable comic write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, you know, with your oration. It was fantastic. But, you know, I like the scene that he paints here of Dumb and Dumber, and then the whole thing right to the end. Fine, I went to rent to own down at Rent-A-Center, but they didn't have no saxophone, so I went home, and instead I wrote this poem, and the poem, you know, fantastic ending as well, beautifully done.
Thank you, Greg. Gene, how about you?
I thought it was pretty damn funny.
You laughing behind the scenes?
I was. I was chuckling the whole time you were reading it. I'm going, oh, my God. But I did find it very funny all the way through. And I liked when it said, what does this have to do with the saxophone? And I just started laughing. I was like, that was it. But, yeah, it was well done. It was funny and well received. So nice job, Lawrence. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I always have a ball with Alfie and Alfie and Nigel, they're always funny, sometimes a little corny, but he tosses in something like that ending with the saxophone to make the angle work perfect, and it always comes off funny. Just like, was it last week? So it was the shoe incident. Arr, be careful, Pam's coming. Slipper inbound.
Oh, yeah, that's always a great one.
Funny.
Thank you, Lawrence. All right. Coming back to you, Gene. Aha, and the first one.
There I go. I got your team. Eugene. I don't know. Oh, what the hell he does all the time, but he's never here to meet him. Gray, I have one for you to read. Whenever you
want. Okay, this is by Incubus 2, and it's called Music to Me Ears. The darkness of my mind explodes in vibrance of reverberating colors as the saxophone rift tears through in screams of the painted lovers, in the cries of the newborn, in the howl of the wind, through the naked autumnal forest, heart soaring like a paper kite, eyes closed, with that do not disturb look upon furrowed brow, as like a drowning man, I lay back and let the music in waves wash over me, tuned in, tuned out to the tune of one, alone in a sea of faces, a castaway, enjoying every minute of my solitude. End poem.
Great, really great. Thank you very much. And that was another smoking piece. All right, Gene, you get to go first.
Well, you know, I really like this piece very much. There's lots of little pieces that I would like to point out, but it's a brevity of sorts, and I'd have to just read the whole thing again. I think that... here, heart soaring like a paper kite, eyes closed with that do not disturb look upon furrowed brow. As like a drowning man, I lay back and let the music in waves wash over me. Right there, like that is, to me, I just thought was wonderful. Has it ever been said before? Yes, but I can't say that I've ever heard it said quite like that. And I think that Incubus did a great job with this and meeting the prompt. And just a great piece written. So for that, I give them, you know, high five and great job, Incubus.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful and emotive write. And I like how you described it, Rex, as smoking, because it really is. And I like how, you know, music can be different things. Like, it can be there to, you know, for us to celebrate. It can even be there, as this one mentions, to be there in the dark music that we can relate to in our sad times. Me personally, whenever I'm feeling sad, I like to play Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart over and over again. So I recommend Staying Away From Me when I'm really sad. This poem, like I said, it's emotive. I really like, in the howl of the wind through the naked autumnal forest, heart soaring like a paper kite. Eyes closed with that do not disturb look upon my furrowed brow. I like how it's all about going into your own place, your own zone, and just, you know, not, it's just you and the music facing the darkness together. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Dan. And Gray, you got to read that. What'd you think?
Yeah, you know, for such a short poem, it really is packing a punch. In screams of the painted lovers and the cries of the newborn and the howl of the wind through the naked autumnal forest, heart soaring like a paper kite, eyes closed with that do not disturb look upon furrowed brow. And, you know, you can picture all that as you read through it. And then, you know, to the end where he says, tuned in, tuned out, to the tune of one, alone in a sea of faces, a castaway enjoying every minute of my solitude. Yeah, you know, it was a very lyrical piece, and it was definitely emotive. Well done.
Thank you very much. I think that whole sentence section was the almost a crown of glory in itself. As the saxophone riff tears through in screams of pained lovers, in the cries of the newborn, in the howl of the wind through the naked autumnal forest, heart soaring like a paper kite, eyes closed with that do not disturb look upon furrowed brow. As like a drowning man, I lay back and let the music and waves wash over me. That is quite the thought, of just melting into the music in the moment. Well done, peace, Incubus. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Diane G. And I have a SoundCloud for that. There we go.
Anthropology, the Saxophone, and Poetry by Diane G. I'm sitting in my one-room studio suite, scratching out a Charlie Parker poem. Most times I can pen to any instrument, but Rex, he chose the saxophone. And me, I chose the song Anthropology, the scientific study of humanity. Now trying to study man and listen to the sax, there's your definition of insanity. But I do love the saxophone, don't get me wrong. It has that mellowing THC kind of glow. I don't know, can I speak about marijuana on this late night poet show? And now I've gone quite mad in my cubicle, listening to the sax is manic indeed. But to ink a piece about studying mankind, I could never do that and smoke weed. Now I gotta be 100% honest though. Some of the best writes I have penned are from back in the haze of Black Cherry Kush. But that shit was illegal back then. So going back to studying humanity, that's a hell of a quest on its own. But what if your man is a weed-smoking fax player? Try to put all that into a poem. And now that it's legal in Canada, it's no fun to indulge every night. But puff out a piece if you have writer's block, and throw in a sax for a half-decent write. End poem.
Oh, that was wonderful, Diane. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Gray, why don't you start us off?
Well, I really liked her cadence throughout the whole, right? She did a wonderful read with it as well. But, you know, I like her, but she says, and me, I chose the song Anthropology, the Scientific Study of Humanity. Now trying to study man and listen to the sax. Now there's your definition of insanity. And, yeah, you know, I really liked where she put, can I speak about marijuana on this late night poet show? Just an excellent poem.
Thank you, Gray. Pam, how about you?
This was great fun. I really enjoyed it. I love poems that take us along on the poet's thought process. And I like how she goes from jumping around from, you know, writing to Charlie Parker to smoking weed to living in Canada to some really fun memories. Like, now I got to be 100% honest, though some of the best writes I have penned are from back in the haze of Black Cherry Kush. But that shit was illegal back then. You know, it just really, it's a fun write all the way through. And it's such a shame that that Diane missed the pot smoking music show that you guys did, because she would have been great for that one. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
I said, Greedy always wants something different.
Some folks... Well, it helps a little bit.
A little bit. But helps who? That's the question. Anyway, I thought that she did a good job. I thought there was lots of really good lines throughout this. I thought some of it was just kind of a little bit of a chuckle, you know, a lot of a chuckle maybe. But I found that some parts of it to be fun and parts of it to be like kind of like thought-provoking, like, is she being serious here? You know, shame on me. But I just thought it was funny, and I liked the tail end of it. But now that it's legal, it's so fun to indulge every night. But puff out a piece if you have writer's block and throw in a sax for a half a decent write. You know, good ending to it. And nice job, Diane. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. This was definitely a fun piece, and she did it the right way. Because good, bad, or indifferent, she chose me up front to blame it on, all in the first couple of lines. So it ain't my fault. I didn't do it. It's Rex's fault. So kudos for that. I thought that was a nice touch of humor going in, and he didn't let up from there on. So, great piece, Diane. Thank you very much. Well, we're at the back end of the show. Jean, great show. Thank you, Pam.
Thanks.
Great. Robbie, for coming on to read and comment. Y'all were wonderful. And I guess we're doing this again next week. Oh, Victoria tonight? Or
yes. Yes.
So it's Black Lace Diaries?
No. Hearts of LMP.
Oh, okay, Hearts of LMP. Hearts of LMP in half an hour. Come back and visit.
Absolutely. Great show, Rex. Great topic. And thank
you.
Thank you, Dre. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.